Good afternoon, everybody. This is Michael Marsalek, another Studio B session here at Montana Public Radio. I have violinist Tim Fain joining me in our studio this afternoon. So great to see you once again. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, my pleasure, Michael. It's great to be here.
Many listeners may have seen and heard Tim play in various settings, heard in the film Black Swan, and giving voice to the violin of the lead actor in the film 12 Years a Slave, a well-known soloist working with Philip Glass and many other projects. You are here because it's Festival Amadeus Week in the Whitefish area with concerts each night through Sunday night, and you'll be performing a couple of different things, a cabaret evening in a chamber music setting, and also a symphonic work playing Mozart on Saturday night. First of all, I know you've been very busy traveling quite a bit. Where have you been most recently and what's been top of mind of late?
Most recently, I was in McCall, Idaho. I played Johannes Brahms's violin concerto with David Idkin conducting. I was in Canada for a couple of weeks for the Scotia Festival and met up with Philip Glass there, actually. Two of us played a few concerts together. One of them being actually something we just decided to do the day of because Philip was giving an interview and I started playing along to one of his piano etudes and I told him, you know, I'd always wanted to create an arrangement for violin and piano of etude number 2. And he said, well, do you want to do that tonight? I couldn't say no. I mean, it sounded like a lot of fun and we ended up playing etudes 10 and 2. And the whole thing was filmed. I imagine they'll be up on YouTube at some point. Well, he introduced them as world premieres. Of course, he was playing straight up what he plays in the piano version. But I was in Australia a little before that. I understand you guys are doing a Bernstein week coming up pretty soon. I played his serenade there and some recording projects. I just finished up writing the music for a VR miniseries that Samsung has financed and is distributing, called Interpretation of Dreams. It's these narrative pieces. Any number of shows, Mr. Robot or, you know, Westworld, will have little ancillary pieces in VR that you can watch, almost like a trailer. But this is the show in VR. So I think it's really interesting. It's very cinematic. And I think the score follows in that vein as well.
You seem to have a passion of sorts for technology and of embracing technology, and you seem to be very comfortable, you know, on the soundstage and the recording studio, virtual reality. Do you see that as kind of a natural progression for music, or do you see it as something more that you're tied personally to in some way?
That's a good question. I'm very inspired by violinists of the past. Joseph Joachim, who actually wrote the cadenza, which I performed for Brahms' violin concerto a week or so ago. He was very involved in everything that was new during his lifetime. Brahms' writing, for example, which has become one of the iconic pieces from the past that violinists perform, I think deservedly so. But he was very much involved in everything that was new that was going on then. He wrote a lot. He composed. He wrote his own violin concerto and worked with other artists at the time, which I find really fascinating. I work with many living composers, singer-songwriters, other classical artists. Simona Dinnerstein and I are getting ready to, we played a show here in the Bitterroot a couple of years back, and we're just getting ready to make a CD together. I just worked with my friend Nicholas Bertel on the title track to Christina Aguilera's new disc, which was really fun. It's actually, when you listen to it, you think, this sounds like a piece of classical orchestral music. And she's really thinking outside of the box. I think she's just killing it right now. And the form of the disc is unique in that it, for her work so far, in that it intersperses sort of like radio top 40 songs with these musical interludes. I think it's really fascinating the way she's done that. Of course, I work a lot with Philip Glass. I have great pleasure working with other composers, Aaron J. Kernis, Richard Daniel Poor, and some of the younger composers now, Missy Mazzoli, Nico Muhly. It's such a great time to be making music and to be sharing it, I think, as well.
I love the fact that you seem to have that wonderful connection with contemporary, with Philip Glass, for example, and many other composers. You're commissioning works, premiering works regularly. But you also have regular opportunities to bring the great violin concertos to life, for example. It must be fun for you to live kind of in both worlds that way. And I wonder, as a musician, did you think about the music differently depending on when it was composed? Or is it all just live in the world of music and the interpretation of the given moment of where you happen to be performing it?
Yes. That's all of the above in a way, you know, because, yeah, I would, for me personally, I'm always very, try to be very aware of the context in which the piece was written. I mean, framing has so much to do with how people receive a story, whether it's through words or through music. And I think the way that that piece is framed, if I'm playing a piece of Bach, if I have an instrument with me that is set up differently, perhaps a little closer to how an instrument might be set up during Bach's lifetime in the late 1600s or so, I would use that. And certainly playing Brahms's violin concerto as well, just attention to how I'm using shifts or vibrato or the techniques, the various techniques, expressive techniques that we use as a player to bring about certain emotions and really to tell as specific of a story as we can. Some of my favorite pieces, Beethoven's violin concerto, for example, when you play that piece, it's almost impossible not to get sucked into a feeling that, partly because Beethoven's music always sounds very fresh and sounds very edgy almost, even, you know, hundreds of years later, but it's almost impossible not to get really drawn into a frame of mind or a world where every time I play that piece, it feels as if it's a new experience, to really feel as if I am right back there listening to or performing the premiere of that piece. I think that's really just it, is every time I get up on stage, I want to imagine that this is the first time that people are hearing these pieces. And for much of the music that I do play, it really could very well be the first time. If I'm playing Beethoven in a context in which people are really coming to that style of music for the first time, or if I'm playing a new piece by Philip, which really hasn't ever been heard before. Bryce Dessner and I just worked on some new violin pieces that he sent recently, and I just recorded them. And I'm going to be giving the premiere of them actually in about a week in Berlin at a festival called People. It's a pretty young festival. It's at the Funkhaus in Berlin. Over the course of a couple days, 5,000 to 10,000 people coming through the festival, various different rooms, performing spaces. I'll be playing Bryce's pieces there. The festival was started by a couple of band members from The National, Bryce and Aaron Dessner, and also Justin Vernon from Bon Iver. I think it's a really exciting lineup of people. If anybody happens to be traveling to Europe, then August 18th and 19th, I'll be around.
Off to Berlin after, yeah, Whitefish.
And I think something about Bryce's music, which we can listen to in just a few moments here, which I find really fascinating and just really hypnotizing, very motoric often. He'll write in the music something which you wouldn't necessarily know as a listener, but just directions like machine-like or AI or just, you know, things that really bring to mind the repetitive motion of a machine, which I think is really interesting. Prokofiev never wrote it out in as many words, but his music does that for me as well. You have these extremely repetitive, motoric, driving figures that start to take on a personality, almost as if they're imbued with a soul at a certain point, and they start to fly and sort of take on a life of their own. And I think Bryce's music, particularly in these couple selections, two movements from his new piece, Ornament and Crime by Bryce Dessner.
Let's do that. So this is two movements from Ornament and Crime by Bryce Dessner. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right, Michael.
The world premiere will happen officially in Berlin in not too long. Tim Fain is with us here in studio today here at Montana Public Radio.
Thank you.
Violinist Tim Fain is with us in Studio B here at Montana Public Radio this afternoon. That was two movements from Ornament and Crime by Bryce Dessner. And we heard that sneak preview of a piece that'll be premiered in Berlin coming up very soon. Tim, you work quite a bit with solo violin as well. And I don't know that that's very common among violinists to work in the solo realm, but you seem to be very comfortable cultivating and creating new work for solo violin, which I just love that that's happening for you.
Yeah, I suppose I have. My very first CD, actually, very first disc was all unaccompanied violin. Combined some old, some new. It's called Arches. Actually, another piece, which I'd love to play for you guys in a bit, comes from that first disc, Arches, the title track, which was a piece that really opened my eyes to the possibility of solo violin writing now. And I think there's something in Kevin's writing in that piece that just jumps off the page. And it did to me in that time, and really made me think in a new way about commissioning and working with living composers to create music for solo violin. Mark O'Connor recorded some of his pieces, Philip Glass, of course, other composers, Nico Muhly, Patrick Zimmerle, and then my own writing as well. Looking back to the music of Bach again, I think there's something very satisfying, not only about the sound world, but also just being able to take the music wherever I go, that music could be easily performed, you know, whether it's down, you know, the Grand Canyon or around a campfire or up in the mountains or anywhere at a friend's house, you know, it's just something I can pull. And some of these pieces have really become a part of me in a way. I'm grateful for that opportunity to really explore that sound world.
Well, the variety of musical settings is certainly something that Festival Amadeus has tried to do a lot with having chamber nights. They've got three chamber nights and three orchestral nights. You'll be featured on a chamber night with a couple of other musicians. This is Friday night, and those nights are held at the O'Shaughnessy Center in Whitefish. Inbal Segev will join you, the cellist, and pianist Alan Goldstein as well, right?
Yeah, they're both old friends from the city, from New York. I've known them both for quite some time, and we really enjoy playing together. We're doing a program that spans a pretty wide range of styles. I mean, we've got some Leonard Bernstein on there, Antonin Dvorak, and Beethoven as well, Beethoven's Ghost Trio.
And then, of course, Saturday night is the orchestral night featuring the Violin Concerto No. 1 by Mozart. I understand it was supposedly composed when Mozart was like 19 years old, but then they've been looking at the manuscript and think he might have even been younger when he wrote that first concerto. You may know of some of that history, but kind of the opposite end of the spectrum as a violinist of some of the things we've been talking about, some of the contemporary music you've been performing. But
oh, yeah. Well, I somehow never got around to his first violin concerto. I'd done 3, 4, and 5. I play those a lot. 2? Not really as much. And 1, I'd never had a chance to perform that. So I was really glad to learn that piece. I was really happy to have a chance to do that. It's just gorgeous. I wrote my own cadenzas for the piece, the sort of solo interludes within the orchestral textures. And I think there's a kind of a youthful energy in that piece that is very contagious. Getting into that sound world, it's very different from Beethoven even, often a smaller orchestra. The instruments were set up a little bit differently. I think the way that one expresses emotion in that music is also very different. There's a real sense of perhaps restraint, a different sense of taste, and real sort of purity of sound as well that I really try to go for, especially in some of Mozart's earlier works, like this Concerto No. 1.
Talking about Festival Amadeus, violinist Tim Fain is with us in Studio B here at Montana Public Radio this afternoon. Festival Amadeus continues all week. There's a chamber music concert tonight and tomorrow night. Friday night will feature Tim Fain. And then Saturday, the concert is entitled Mozart and the Miracle. That's the second orchestral night at the Whitefish Performing Arts Center. Sunday, the finale as well at the Whitefish Performing Arts Center. The full schedule is at glaciersymphony.org, or you can call 407-7000. We have you in studio. Play another solo piece for us. You mentioned something from that first record.
Oh, well, Arches. Yeah, sure. That's one of those pieces that I've actually played it in Arches National Park, although the title has nothing to do with that. It's really, think of the rise and fall of the pitches, especially in the beginning, but also when it gets faster, this rise and fall slowly and then quicker and quicker as it goes on. These sort of musical rainbows or arches as the pitches go up and then come back down. That was really the idea behind the title of the piece. But Arches, by Kevin Putz, by the way, for me, just really, about how great it is to be here and to be aware and able to share and love one another. I think this piece really expresses perhaps a feeling. Maybe you've come away from that and in a flash you find it again.
This is Tim Fain performing in Studio B here at Montana Public Radio. That was Arches by Kevin Putz, performed by Tim Fain here at Studio B at Montana Public Radio. Tim's joining us this afternoon in advance of heading to Whitefish for some concerts this weekend as part of Festival Amadeus. Can you talk about work with students and work with other violinists?
Well, you know, in Canada, at this festival we were talking about, I had a chance to work over the course of about a week and a half with about 25 young players, really talented musicians there. It was great to have a chance to work not just as a one-off, as a master class. Those can be rewarding, I think, and helpful for the musicians to be a part of that. But I think it's more enjoyable for me to be able to work with a young performer over the course of a week or even 2 weeks. So I was grateful to have that opportunity, and this coming spring and summer, I'll have a chance to see many of them again when I return.
You have a home in the Bitterroot Valley and live here in Montana.
That's right.
It must be great to have these opportunities with the Helena Symphony recently, I know, and then, of course, Festival Amadeus again, you're coming back to perform there, to get a chance to play in your home state. I know you travel quite a bit. How often are you able to be home these days?
When I have a chance to play at home, that's great. I really enjoy it. And in fact, recently I gave a free concert for everybody in Hamilton at the library, on the front lawn of the library. We crammed about as many people as could fit on that lawn that evening and had a pretty great time. We're really blessed in that community to have just a fantastic library. And other things as well. In the schools, the public schools, we haven't yet lost the arts and fostering young creators. We all grow up understanding what it means to be a consumer. Our phones teach us that. What we don't grow up learning how to do is to express ourselves and to learn the technique of expression, whether it happens to be through, it can be anything, through mountain climbing or through music, through theater, through drawing, writing. And I think we don't have much time to be bored anymore, time to contemplate. It seems like there's a lot less time now. We're very busy right now, most of the time. Those are exactly the times when we're almost bored, or we have the luxury of time to do nothing, to think, to, within our own minds, allow for the space to bring together these disparate ideas and thoughts and emotions, put them back together in a different order. And that's the creative spirit right there. I had a friend who told me, you know, he used to say, the definition of genius is hiding your sources. I love that because it admits what I think we all know and what we all swear by and really live by is that we're taking from what we know and what we love. And everything is derivative in a way, particularly at the beginning when you're first starting out as a creator, as a young creator, everything is derivative. There's a great video online. Speaking of our phones, you can go check out Everything is a Remix Remastered. I love that. And I love Star Wars and Led Zeppelin. I grew up on Led Zeppelin, to really have a very scholarly look, with a very light touch, of course, but at just how derivative those pieces and those songs by those bands are. And to see George Lucas shamelessly and lovingly drawing from his favorite films, at times almost verbatim, and yet he creates something very new and striking and captivating, telling a story. You know, we're telling the same old stories over and over. But because nobody was listening, we have to just keep telling them over and over again.
Well, your love of music and your joy of playing is very contagious, and I know people love to get the chance to hear you play. Thanks so much for coming by Studio B today and sharing some time with us and some music,
Michael,
with us. Tim Fain is here. He'll be featured as part of Festival Amadeus, which continues all week. The Chamber Music Night will be Friday night, and it's at the O'Shaughnessy Center in Whitefish. We'll feature cellist Inbal Segev, and pianist Alon Goldstein as well. Mozart and the Miracle, featuring the Violin Concerto No. 1 by Mozart, performed by Tim Fain, as well as music of Prokofiev and Haydn on that program. That will be Saturday night. If you'd like more information, go to glaciersymphony.org or call 407-7000. Tim Fain, thank you so much.
Thanks, Michael.
This has been another Studio B session here on Montana Public Radio. I'm Michael Marsalek. Thanks for listening.